No, I know Mother's Day is next week, but mothers might know, right? You know when your kid needs something, right? Maybe you've heard before one of the classic lines of, "Mom, you look so pretty today," right? Maybe you've never said that before to your mom, but does she really look pretty? Probably, right? But is the motivation behind it that Jordan actually just wants to see if his friend can stay over for the night? Probably so, right? There's times where you know when someone's approaching you that the reason they're approaching you is because they're going to ask you about something. And it seems as if Paul is introducing this, he's doing the same way. But again, he makes the point that even though he could command it and demand it, he isn't. And instead, he's lovingly asking for consideration. And we'll see why that's important here in a moment. But this is very different than some of the other letters of, like Colossians or Corinthians, for example, when Paul delivers emphatic commands of do this, do not do this. This is different because this is a loving appeal. This is a request because it's a little bit of a gray area of what the right thing is to do, and we'll get into why that is the case. And so, we talked a little bit last week, but in verse 10, we get the brief story of why this man Onesimus is so important. So Onesimus was a slave or a servant that escaped his master, and his master was Philemon. Onesimus escaped, and by escaped, I mean he left, and he didn't fulfill his obligation to be a servant of Philemon. And so he escaped, and when he escaped, he fled to Rome. And it just so happened, it's funny how God works things out sometimes, that when he fled to Rome, he met this man named Paul. And you might remember Paul as the person who is writing this letter. Now, when this happened, and we don't get full details of what this looked like, but over time, Onesimus, through his relationship with Paul, gave his life to Jesus. And so Onesimus was a new man, a different person at this point. And now Paul is appealing to Philemon about Onesimus. Now, this might seem odd to us, but in this culture and in this society, this was a typical practice. And so in this culture, in this society, when escaped slaves ran away and were found elsewhere, they were often granted sanctuary with wherever it was that they were. And the practice was that the head of the household, usually the father or the man of the household, would reach out to the owner or the master of this slave on their behalf in order to kind of mediate so that the slave could return to the master in a peaceful way that didn't result in bloodshed or ousting or anything like that. And so Paul here is following this tradition, respecting the culture of the people, as he's reaching out to the head of, or the master in this case, which is Philemon, who he just happens to know, in order to mediate between the two. And so hopefully you start to see some of the gospel parallels as Paul is mediating for Onesimus to Philemon, as we know that Jesus serves as our mediator to God. Now, Paul leads Onesimus to faith in Christ, and that's why when you see it refer to him as my son, he's not talking about his physical son, but spiritually, because he was able to lead Onesimus to faith in Jesus, that he considered himself more of a spiritual father to Onesimus. So you can see why this might have been a little more personal than just a normal average servant. This was a little bit different. And so at one point, and again, we're going to see a lot of gospel parallels that I hope you pick up on, but when Onesimus escaped his master Philemon, he was now considered useless because he left the situation in which he had value in order to escape that. And so to Philemon, at this point, Onesimus is useless. But Paul says what was once considered useless is now useful for the kingdom of God. Because after Onesimus gave his life to Jesus, he was doing work not as a slave, as a servant, but for the kingdom of God. And we see the gospel on display. Now here's kind of a fun fact as I've studied this week. The word or the name Onesimus comes from a Greek word named onimai, which means profitable. So I want you to consider that as we move along, because now that he was saved by Christ, the man that was considered useless, even though his name meant profitable, funny how the play on words works there, but he could finally live up to his name, and be profitable for the kingdom of God. But as the world saw him as an escaped slave, a servant who didn't fulfill his obligation, the world saw him as useless and no longer of any value. But that's not how God sees us. You see, when God sees people that the world says are useless and have no value, he sees kingdom impact. He sees lives that matter. He sees people made in the image of God. So we see the setup here. This is the situation. And so legally, the obligation is that Onesimus needs to return to Philemon in order to continue to work for him. But the only way that this can be forgiven or overturned is if Philemon releases that control. And this is what Paul is asking for. Because again, legally, what needs to happen is Onesimus needs to go back to Philemon and continue the covenant contract that he's made with him to be his servant. But Paul is asking, and not demanding, that Philemon forgive this mistake, this incursion, so that Onesimus can continue to make an impact for the kingdom of God. So in verses 12 through 14, we see that Paul is doing what legally he should be doing by sending him back to Philemon, but we see that there's a hope that Philemon will forgive, show grace, and ultimately send him back out, send Onesimus back out, so that it's no longer about what Onesimus can do for Philemon, but what Onesimus can do for the kingdom of God. You see, Paul makes note that Onesimus was in the wrong for escaping his master. He made a mistake. He broke the law. He did what he was not supposed to do, and Paul is not diminishing that fact. He made a mistake. And because of this mistake, the owner, Philemon, was within his right to punish however he saw fit. And typically, in this culture and society, slaves were either ousted or sometimes even put to death for such a mistake or an incursion. You see, Onesimus' life in this moment depends on Philemon's grace. So I hope you can see where we're going with this morning, because more often than not, we like to say that we want to be Paul in this story and in this situation, but we're more like Onesimus than we like to admit. But again, Philemon was within his right. If Philemon chose to oust Onesimus and make him, where nobody would ever hire him or he had no value, he could do that. If Philemon wanted to order Onesimus to be put to death, he was well within his right to do that. Paul, as a friend, as a brother in Christ, is appealing that this not be the case. It's almost as if Paul is saying, hey, I know that he messed up. I know that he deserves this punishment, this wrath that you were to pour out on him, but please withhold that wrath and that judgment. See, I don't know about you this morning, but I'm glad that's how Jesus intercedes for you and for me with God. Because remember, for our relationship with God, when we broke that covenant agreement, as Onesimus broke his covenant agreement with his master when he went to do his own thing, anytime we sin against God, we break that covenant agreement that we have made with him. And the penalty for that is death and eternal separation from him. And God is well within his right to say, you know what? Jordan broke that covenant and agreement, so I want nothing to do with him. And he would be within his right to do that. But thankfully, we have a mediator named Jesus who stepped in and said, you know, I know Jordan messed up. I know he deserves this punishment. I know he deserves to be eternally separated from you forever. But please withhold that wrath that is justified. And even more than that, allow me to take on that wrath so that he doesn't have to. Again, I hope you see the parallels here as Paul is standing in the gap for Onesimus, a man who probably doesn't even deserve the grace and the forgiveness that Paul is asking that he receive. But Paul acknowledges in these verses how impactful Onesimus has been for the gospel, and he wanted him to stay so that he could keep being profitable. Remember, that's what his name actually means. He wanted him to continue to do the work, not the work, the physical work that a slave does for its master, but the work for the kingdom of God, so that more people like Onesimus would see their lives changed and their purpose of life change in an eternal way. But Paul was not going to force the issue. You see, he makes very clear what he wants to see happen, but he's going to leave this issue up to Philemon. He says in those verses he will only do so if Philemon agrees. And Paul gives Philemon the freedom to do what he believes is right. You see, this isn't as black and white as we would like it to be, because legally there are things that should happen, but because of one's relationship with God, maybe grace should be shown in a place where the world would say not to. You see, if Paul demanded that Philemon release Onesimus from his covenant agreement and come back to him, and Philemon didn't do it, Philemon would be disobeying Paul, and because of his authority and who he was, would ultimately be disobeying God. But Paul lovingly asked that this would be the case. And so Philemon, in this moment, has the opportunity to show the same grace that Christ offered to him, to literally practice what he preached, because remember, he's the one who's leading this house church in Colossae that the letter of Colossians was written to. He's got an opportunity here, and Paul's not going to force him to do it, because ultimately this is a decision that Philemon has to make and in order to settle in his spirit with his relationship with God, what this looks like. But what about for you and for me? We're presented this opportunity often as well, where we can show others the same grace that Jesus has shown us. We can show others the same kind of love and forgiveness that God has shown us, even and especially when they don't deserve it. And when we do so, we're giving them a tangible real-life example, a picture of what the grace of God looks like and has shown us so many times. But how often do we thwart those opportunities because we feel hurt or wronged or whatever it may be? Again, if Philemon says no, Onesimus needs to come back, fulfill his contract, and he's probably going to face some punishment because of what he has done, that would be socially and culturally acceptable, and that would be fulfilling the law in that case. But we're going to see why Paul is going against this. So verses 15 and 16, Paul points to the fact that God actually had a hand in Onesimus' escape. This whole situation had a lot less to do with a slave leaving its master and had a whole lot more to do with the kingdom of God being impacted. You see, and Paul is being real nice in this letter, right? Because he says, while you were parted for a while, right? And keep in mind what happened. They weren't just parted. They didn't get separated, right? Onesimus made the conscious decision to leave and to escape and to get away. And so it wasn't just that they were parted for a while. There was a mistake that was made in the midst of that. But perhaps God could use this situation, this bad situation, you know, because consider the consequences of what took place. Not only was Philemon deprived of a slave and a worker that he was owed, this also made Onesimus a criminal in the eyes of the law, and it had life and death consequences for Onesimus. This was a bad situation by every stretch of the imagination. But perhaps God could take this bad situation and use it to bring about his purposes. I don't know about you, but I face some difficult decisions, some bad situations in life quite often. And when those times hit, it's always, at least for me, why is this happening? Why would God allow this to take place? Why am I having to deal with this? And when that's the case, do you notice how much I'm focused on myself in the midst of that? Perhaps if you're facing difficulties this week, this month, this year, perhaps God can use what we deem as bad and tragic and difficult to bring about his purposes. Perhaps it's all about his plan, and we'll see here in a minute. Because when Onesimus left Philemon, he was a slave and a servant. But because of his change of life, because he met Jesus and had an encounter with Jesus, when he's returning to Philemon, he's not returning as a slave and a subordinate, but he's returning as a brother in Christ. You see how that relationship should look a little bit different now? You see, Philemon, the master, lost a slave and lost a worker, but Philemon, the Christ follower, gained a brother. And Paul's asking Philemon to juggle which identification is more important. Are you Philemon the master? Is that what's important? Because if so, you're within your legal right to withhold or to show that wrath, to show the punishment. Or is Philemon the Christ follower excited that somebody that was destined for death and eternal separation with God is now been restored to him and is receiving eternal life? Is that the way. And so we need to consider ourselves when people talk about us. Is it Jordan a Christ follower? Is it some other other part of identification that we have made more important? Is it our marital status? Is it if we're parents? Is it the job title that we had? Is that the identifier that we make most important? Because Philemon had an important decision to make in this moment. He could be Philemon the master to show the wrath and the punishment deserved to a slave that was returning to him legally, or he could be Philemon the Christ follower and be happy that he now has a new brother in Christ and show that love and that grace and that forgiveness that Jesus just showed Onesimus as he saved him from eternal separation and the wrath that was deserved. Or he could do it that way. You see, Paul's reintroducing Onesimus to Philemon in this moment as he's sending him back, because this isn't the same Onesimus that left. This is an Onesimus that's different. Paul's reintroducing him to Philemon, not with his earthly title, but with something far more important, his heart change, his kingdom title, what God sees him as now. You see, it's easy to look at others and to see them as less than we are, similar to a master looking to a servant as a subordinate. But you see, in Christ, we're all equal, and there's no better or lower. There's a part of his covenant promise in the family of God, and there's not. And those are the two options. You see, the relationship changed between Onesimus and Philemon because now it's not a master-servant relationship. It's a brother and brother in Christ relationship. And Paul's asking Philemon, he's pleading with Philemon to acknowledge this, to see it for what it is, and to act accordingly to do so. In verses 17 through 19, we see restoration to Philemon. We see that Paul is appealing to Philemon's known kindness and grace. And then we see Paul in a very beautiful way of paralleling the gospel say that he is willing to take any blame incurred by Onesimus so that this restoration could take place. He says, if he stole from you, if there was anything that he did that he took from you, that monetarily took away from you in his sin and what he did that was wrong, I will pay it back. Put it on my tab. I will cover it. I will repay whatever is owed to you. And we see this gospel picture here because Jesus takes the debt and the blame that we owe, and it is not on our account anymore. You see, Onesimus could have to go back and have to repay everything that he took and then some, everything that he owed and then some, but Paul is interceding and saying, you know what? I'm going to cover that account. I'm going to cover that debt. And for you and for me, there is a debt incurred in our lives that we are never allowed, that we can never pay back to God because it is so great. Because when his standard is perfection and we mess it up, we incur debt in our lives because we owe God for the times that we have messed up. But Jesus, similar to how Paul jumps in here, jumps in and says, you know what? That debt and that wrath and that blame, I will take that on so that they don't have to. You see, Philemon himself owed Paul a lot. Because one might say Philemon even owed Paul in an eternal way, because Paul was one of the reasons Philemon was leading this house church in Colossae at this point. There was a big debt that Philemon was forgiven of when God changed his life around, and so maybe, just maybe, Philemon can show the same kind of love, grace, and forgiveness to somebody who wronged him in a way that seems far less significant than the way that he wronged God. So maybe this sounds familiar because this situation, this story, has huge parallels to the parable of the tenant that we can see in Matthew chapter 18, where we see Jesus tell a story of a man who forgave another man's debt, a master that forgave a servant's debt that was so substantial that he was never going to be able to pay it back. And then that parable, that same man that was just forgiven, turns around and then demands that a debt that was very significantly smaller than the debt that he owed be returned to him. And when it wasn't, he had the person that owed him that debt thrown into prison for the rest of his life until he could pay it back. And we see, if you want to look at Matthew 18, how that plays out. But we see that picture where the man that was forgiven of so much, a debt that he could never repay, you would think that when the time came for that man to be able to show the same kind of love and the grace for a debt that is far less significant than the debt that he owed, he had the opportunity to show that same love and grace and compassion, but he did not. Paul is asking Philemon not to be that man in this story, in that parable, because God has forgiven Philemon of so much. God has forgiven Paul of so much. God has forgiven us of so much on an eternal level in a way that we can never repay. But how do we continue to struggle with forgiving others with their really insignificant grievances against us? And I'm not minimizing the fact that people can hurt us, right? People can say things and do things that hurt us. But when we consider what that looks like and how much we have hurt God and how we have turned against God, it almost seems like it's this big that it doesn't necessarily matter. So again, Paul is asking and pleading, not demanding as he could, because ultimately this is a situation between Philemon and God of how he's going to handle this. But Paul is trying to get him to realize he has an opportunity to show the love and the grace and the forgiveness that was shown to him to Onesimus here. But knowing their relationship in verses 20 and 22, Paul shows his confidence in Philemon's response. In verse 20, he says, "Let me have joy from you and the Lord." Now, here's where it gets fun with the way the languages work and how wordplay Paul uses sometimes. The word joy that's used in our English translation can sometimes better be translated prophet. Remember what I said Onesimus' name meant earlier on? Prophet. So here, in some other manuscripts, the way that it's read is Paul saying that, let me have Onesimus from you and the Lord. Let me have profit from you and the Lord. So he's literally using a play on words where he's throwing Onesimus' name in there as well. Literally saying, let me have Onesimus, profit from you and the Lord. You see, there's a double meaning. Paul's a funny guy. He's a preacher. He throws those jabs in there just to make you chuckle from time to time. Philemon, we remember from verse 7, was known for, had a reputation for, being an encouragement to believers. Philemon has shown before that he understands the grace and the love and the forgiveness that he's been shown, and he has made a reputation of doing the same for others, and Paul is simply just asking him to do this again. Philemon was also a hospitable person. I mean, literally, he's hosting a church in his house week after week after week, sharing the good news of Jesus week after week after week. And an instance where if they were caught and if they were seen doing what they were doing, he could end up in a very prison cell like Paul is doing. Philemon's a very hospitable person, just like this house church, and he's just giving him an opportunity to show it again. Maybe you see the parallels of why I wanted to go here this morning and talk about this. And then in verses 23 through 25, the rest of the letter, we see some greetings and some names thrown out. And you might recognize as you look through some of that, these are the exact same names that were used at the end of Colossians that we looked at just last week. Because interestingly enough, this letter was sent at the same time that the letter of Colossians was sent because they were going to the same place, right? One was going to the church in Colossae, but this was going to Philemon specifically in Colossae. And then Paul uses his signature of grace and peace, making it no doubt that it was Paul, in fact, who sent this letter. And so as we look at this morning and say, okay, what does this have to do with us? We need to remember our part in this story. And as I said earlier, it's really easy for us to try to make ourselves the hero, right? And say that we're Paul and we're the one that's trying to intercede and mediate for people and bring people closer to Jesus. But we're not Paul in this story. Paul represents Jesus in this story. That's reserved for somebody far better than us. You see, if we do not have a relationship with Jesus, if we're not a part of that covenant promise, then we are Onesimus in this story. Because we're needing to experience the love and the grace and the forgiveness that he was hoping to see Philemon offer. We have wronged our master. We have wronged the person that we owe everything to in what we have done, because the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That puts us on equal playing field with Onesimus, the runaway slave who legally was subject to punishment and maybe even death. If that's the case and we don't know who Jesus is, we are Onesimus in this story, seeking that love and that grace and that forgiveness, knowing that we deserve wrath and punishment. But Jesus interceding, as Paul interceded for Onesimus, taking on the penalty that Onesimus needed to pay, Jesus takes on the penalty that we deserve to pay. But if we do know Jesus and we do have that relationship with him, we're Philemon in this story. We're called to show others the same grace and forgiveness that has been shown to us, even if we don't deserve it. And so I ask you this morning to consider which part of the story you have to play. Are you Onesimus? Are you seeking a life change? Are you seeking that love and that grace and that forgiveness only offered through a relationship with Jesus? Have you recognized the wrong that you've done, the debt that you owe? And if that's the case, may you experience the mediator stepping in for you being Jesus, as Paul did for Onesimus, in order to restore your relationship with the one that you have wronged. And for those of us that have given our lives to Jesus, may we recognize that we are Philemon, that people are going to hurt us and wrong us, and that's just a part of how life is these days, but we have an opportunity to show the love and the grace and the forgiveness that we have shown. Again, remember the parable back in Matthew 18. For somebody who's been forgiven and wiped the debt wiped clean of so much, surely we can do the same for others whose grievances against us are so minimal compared to the sins against a holy, just, perfect God. Where are we this morning? Can we be Philemon to somebody else? And we actually, in Scripture, don't get the resolution to this. We don't get the epilogue, or we don't get the post-credit scene of what takes place. But we can only hope and we can only assume, as Paul showed his confidence, that Philemon would do what God wanted him to do. May that be said of us as we leave here as well, because hopefully there might be some people God has placed on your life that you maybe need to show a little bit more grace and love and forgiveness to. Maybe they're sitting next to you. Maybe they're waiting for you at home. Maybe it's somebody you just need to call and you haven't talked to in a while. But whoever that may be, whatever that situation is for you, know that because you have been forgiven, you can show that love and that grace and that forgiveness to others. May that be our response this morning as we leave here. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather to study just the simple book of the Bible. That's one chapter, but so much involved and so much in there that affects us. I just pray that we are able to take that. We're able to see how that affects us, and we're able to show the love and the grace and the forgiveness that was shown to us as we leave from here this morning. Father, may we consider those that you've put on our hearts that maybe we need to do a better job of showing that grace and that forgiveness to, because ultimately you have shown that to us more than we deserve. May we show that same love and forgiveness to others and be the hands and feet of Jesus this week, this month, this year. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.